What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 104 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. And yes, this is the, well, let's see. It is the third best of the year, but the first best of the holiday season, if you will. So yes, this is going to be a replay of some shows here. Hope everyone enjoyed the listener award show from last week, episode 103. I had so much fun doing that. Had so much interaction on social media last week. It was incredible. Had an absolute blast with that. So if you haven't checked that out, get yourself back on the lead lap. Go check that out. Jeff Gluck made an appearance on the show. The Orange Cone made an appearance on the show. And Chicago Track President Scott Paddock also called into the show. So, yes, if you haven't listened, those are some spoilers to some of the guys that won some of the awards last week. But like I said, go check that out. It was so much fun. It was awesome. All right. So what's up on the docket for the best of this week? Well, if you've checked Twitter in the last 24, 48 hours, you've probably noticed, if you follow me, you're also following the PETM podcast, that I will be their guest this week on their show, PETM 174. So I thought, hey, what better way to help build up to my appearance on their show this week than to do some best ofs with the PETM podcast? So I'm going to kick things off with Sherwin from the PETM podcast, who was on the show a few times this past season, most notably the lead up to the June MIS race, and then also was there with me doing some shows and hanging out in MIS this past June. So without further ado, let's kick it off. Mere days away from MIS, in the wrestling world, this would be called the go-home show, the last build to the big pay-per-view. So who better of a guest for the go-home show other than the guy that will be hanging out with me this weekend at MIS? You know who he is. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Andrew Sherwin from the PETM podcast. Sherwin, what's up, brother?
That's how I start our show, so hell, I figured, yeah, I'd start yours the same way.
I love it. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, we just fresh off recording a hell of a show last night.
That was a good show.
I'm convinced that we have found, like, the female IndyCar counterpart to what we're doing.
That's so cool.
They were a lot of fun, very similar personalities. Very similar in the fact that sounds like they've known each other for a really long time. So, like, the whole chemistry thing is working pretty good for them.
And that's it's neat. Fast cars, fast girls, right? That's their
fast cars, fast girls. I think Abby mostly runs the Twitter handle for the podcast, and then the other co-host, Molly, has her own, and that stuff's all easy to find. I won't call it out because, you know, Molly's a lawyer, so she's got her own demons to chase in the public space.
Nice. What'd you do this past weekend? Anything fun there?
Oh yeah, we went.
Oh, you dirt track racing?
Yeah, we went to the local dirt track.
Nice.
I say local. It's the closest one to us. It's about 25 miles from where I live right now.
Okay.
Actually, it's not even that far. It's probably like 17 miles. Okay. Takes about a half hour to get to. 3/8 dirt mile. They had a full card of all the different late model series that you might be aware of. The 525 blocks, the 602 crate motors, and then super lates. Kenny's series ran.
Oh, no kidding.
The compact two-wheel drive or front-wheel drives ran, and it was like 16 cars. It was a big field.
Nice.
And then the highlight of the show was the closer was they ran a race in reverse.
I remember you talking about that last night. I couldn't imagine doing that. I mean, I'd get dizzy.
What. Yeah, well, so it was like only one person had it figured out. And he was, you know, the people would catch him because they would do something stupid, but then they would always swap ends out of turn four. Like, it, you go in turn three in reverse, and they'd be too behind on steering, and it would just snap around and smash the fence. Nice. It was hilarious.
That would be fun to watch. All right. So before we get too far into this, in honor of the PETM podcast, what you drinking?
Oh, yeah. Well, so let me start.
Cheers. So I can see it. No, you guys can't, but Sherwin's got his beer in a Lab Traffic koozie, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. So sorry. I'm so accustomed.
We'll break fourth wall.
Yeah, I'm accustomed to the YouTube platform, so I have the fourth wall issue. But yeah, yes. I've got a Lap Traffic koozie.
Love it.
That is dressing my Comstock Michigan Bell's Two Hearted IPA, which is one of my favorite beers.
Excellent.
We get a nice distribution of Michigan beer down here in Georgia, and I'm sure that's due to some greater affiliate like AB InBev or Miller Coors, but it's fantastic beer.
Are you a fan of Shorts Brewery?
That one I am not familiar with.
Okay, that's I believe like a Petoskey area type location where their main brewer center is, and that's they got all kinds of different flavors. You know me, I'm not a big beer drinker, but I know Shorts is a big one, and maybe we'll have to get you some of that this weekend here. I know, sure. Lindsay's a fan of Shorts, so.
Well, the big ones from our perspective down here are New Holland, Founders, and Bell's.
Okay, yeah.
I know there's another one in Detroit that eludes my mind right now that we get down here too, but in my mind, I mean, we have great beer down here, but nobody's doing it better than Bell's, New Holland, and Founders for sure.
Excellent, excellent. Let's see. You guys know I obviously have a vodka Red Bull flowing here. Tito's, of course.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that I've also got a diet tonic and bourbon.
Nice. Nice.
Just kind of hanging out here.
So come segment five, you know, when this hits the rails.
This is an adult arena.
Yes, absolutely.
Children are allowed to play, yes. But understand that adult behavior is taking place.
I love it. All right. So Sherwin, so I'm picking your ass up at the airport bright and early Thursday morning, like 9 a.m.
I'm still trying to figure out if I'm staying up all night or not, because I need to be at the airport at, I guess for a domestic flight, a responsible person would be there by 6 a.m., which means I need to leave my house by 5:15 at the latest. Yeah. And I mean, I never take an Ambien. I don't have a prescription, so it's not an option. But it feels like a whole lot like I should take an Ambien at like 5 p.m. on Wednesday, tomorrow, and then like try to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, kind of thing. I hear you.
And then start drinking.
So I'm gonna pick you up, and we're gonna come back, hang out in a man cave a little bit, do a little show prep for Friday, and I'm gonna take you to local watering holes around here that you guys have heard me talk about, 24 Seconds in the famous Berkeley, Michigan, and then we're gonna go ahead to the track Thursday night, probably afternoon. We'll go head out there, pick up some stuff for the weekend, and Friday the big show at MIS, which I am looking very forward to. That's right, you guys get two doses of Lap Traffic this week, tonight's show, and then again Friday. Should have it up for most of your Eastern Standard Time drive home to kick off your weekend. I got a slew of interviews lined up. I'm keeping it a secret. I'm keeping it tight wraps. I will tweet it out as it's going along. Actually, Lindsay probably will. Lindsay will probably be running the Lap Traffic Twitter handle this weekend. So stay tuned for a ton of pictures and a show lineup that is awesome. I'm very excited about it. There's some Xfinity representatives going to be on and some Cup representatives. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm leaving it at that. I'm leaving you guys on the hook for a big show on Friday, which I am very excited about. But what about tonight's show? Sherwin and I, we are going to talk about Pocono this past weekend. There was a lot to talk about. Aaron will be on with his usual weather report and is going to let us know whether or not the PETM curse is coming to Michigan or not. Right.
Hashtag blame PTM.
We will find out what's in tail for the weather this weekend. And of course, your lucky dog, lap down picks. Fantasy segment two started with Pocono this week, and a giveaway happened earlier tonight. So all that and more lined up. Sherwin, before we get into any NASCAR race discussion, I know you talked about it last night a little bit. I'm not going to get into Indy too much other than just to have a mockery of the wreck of the pace car at the Detroit Grand Prix was I'm at a loss for words on how to describe that.
Well, so I listened today to Door Bumper Clear and got a little bit maybe more perspective on that racetrack, because Matthew Dillner was the fill-in co-host because TJ Majors is under the weather. And he knows a lot about that racetrack from all his time in IndyCar. And he said that right before that turn is a really nasty bump that, you know, like if you're not really prepared for it, like it could cause you to stab the throttle if you're already in the throttle. So that's probably what happened. I surmised last night that maybe he had downshifted and reverse horsepower power turned him around, but it seems much more likely that he was not prepared for the bump, stabbed the throttle, and just lost it.
I can't imagine he did too much practice time going around that track either, you know? So he was going pretty hard into that turn and, you know.
Well, yeah. So, you know, at a street course like that, Dillner's perspective was he was probably doing 80. I said last night 100. I know the pace in IndyCar is much, much faster than in NASCAR.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if he was doing 80 miles an hour and he broke the rear end loose, it's not surprising that he smashed it in the fence.
So, to piggyback off that, a buddy of mine tagged me on a video on Facebook. Are you familiar with the fan back in the 80s that attempted to steal the pace car and do some joyride laps at Talladega right before the race started?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. That is like the funniest video.
beat his ass when they got him out of the car, God. Too.
They unloaded on him.
It was one of those, it was like a WWF or WCW deal. When they got him out, people were dropping elbows. They were not impressed with that effort.
No. I mean, I got
one and only streaking incident in NASCAR.
Right. I've seen guys run into a wrestling ring. I've seen guys, streak in a baseball game and a football game. But for you to be able to nonchalantly just stroll your way into the pace car and just start doing a few laps, that's a dare. Hey, hold my beer thing. I got this. None other.
Well, I think it speaks well to the perspective of, a sport grows, it only grows from experience. So until you realize that that's a possibility, you don't know how to protect against it.
Right.
And I think we see that a lot. What we've seen now is, that the major sports outlets, when there is a streaker, which happens probably twice a week, more than likely, they immediately cut camera to make sure that that person gets no airplay.
Right.
And I'll wander into the vein really quickly of the social perspective. We should be doing the same thing when really nasty things happen in public society.
Right. Yeah. But, I hear you.
To keep it sports. NASCAR probably never thought, who in the hell is going to steal a pace car? Because all these rednecks are going to beat your ass when you do that.
And they did. And hey, it hasn't. No one's attempted it since. So I guess the point was proven. Don't steal the pace car.
Yeah, I guarantee you there wasn't one complaint filed based on the police behavior and anybody else that was involved in the apprehension. Because they're like, yeah, you deserved every bit
absolutely.
Of that.
Absolutely. All right, so one thing Sherwin and I will not be doing is stealing the pace car for a joyride at MIS this weekend.
No,
we can cross that off the books.
Yeah, I don't run very fast anymore, so...
All right, on to some NASCAR talk here. All right, so trucks were off again this past week, but the trucks will be under the lights Friday while we are at MIS, but they will be at Texas. To my knowledge, this is the first time this year all three series are running with the trucks at a different location. They do this throughout the year. I think this becomes a more common theme just to maybe draw some attendance to some other tracks. What's your thought on splitting up where the trucks are running?
You know what? It's a great question. I've gotten myself in trouble on Twitter a bunch of times in regards to talking about the trucks, especially knowing that they're splitting the weekend with Indy. And I was like, actually, I think that's true. Is
yes,
that?
Yes. Yep.
I'm right. Yeah. So I thought the girls last night said that they got the 600 kilometers of Texas tomorrow, whatever that is. But, you know, I mean, famously, anybody that's ever had a contentious relationship with Jim Utter on the Twitter has been blocked by him. Mine came about 5 years ago when I said, you know, something on the order of, you do realize that the trucks have a better TV rating than IndyCar does, you know, and he didn't like that very much. But what I would say is I love cross-pollination.
Absolutely.
And well, that's all about. You know, that's what last night was about for us, is let's get an IndyCar and a NASCAR audience together and see if we can have some fun.
Sure.
And that's what I think is a good idea, especially for IndyCar fans that are like super hardcore open wheel IndyCar fans that maybe don't get a lot of exposure to NASCAR. And the Cup, or excuse me, the truck race is a very affordable ticket. It's a very enjoyable product. Particularly on mile and a half. So, like, I don't know how we could get the Cup and the Xfinity to look like what trucks do at a mile and a half. But a mile and a half product with the trucks is absolutely fantastic, typically.
Sure.
And this is a great way to introduce crowds to each other. I mean, maybe somebody says, you know, I really want, you know, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is a huge metroplex. You know, it's 20 million people or whatever it is. It's huge. And maybe it's an opportunity for someone to say, you know what, maybe I'll just go check out these open-wheel cars and see what this is about. And they hear a sound, and they see a race that they weren't expecting, or maybe, you know, it hooks them in, and now all of a sudden they're a fan of both, because there's nothing better than being a fan of all of the racing series that America and the globe produce. Really, I mean,
yeah,
there's Indy puts on. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say there's a ton out there. You know, I know everyone kind of got on the Monaco race a couple of weeks ago, but when you look at racing across the, you know, people talk about soccer being the global sport. If soccer's number one, auto racing's a close second in terms of around the globe, the different products of racing that are out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you nailed it there. And actually, I'm watching a replay of a soccer game right now that I can see on my TV. And it that's exactly right. And if F1 is equivalent to the European Champions League, then you have, you know, your NASCAR is equivalent to MLS.
Sure.
Or yep. Et cetera. I mean, you have very similar sized audiences. I mean, I think speaking just from personal perspective here in Atlanta, you know, we're only in the second year of our team, and they're trying to figure out if they're going to open the entire new Georgia Dome, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, up for the entire season, because every time they've opened it up, they've sold 70,000 tickets to a regular season MLS soccer game.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, just keep, you know, you keep that in mind, though. So everybody that's listening out there that's also like a football fan, and think about at your local college or the college that you root for, or your local professional team, and think about how many people go to your NFL games. Well, if you're the Jets, it's probably like maybe 55,000, maybe. And those people love to make fun of soccer fans. So That's we're saying the same thing about racing is open your mind to more racing than just NASCAR. Because mostly these are going to be NASCAR fans that are going to listen to something like this with us talking. And just keep in mind that, you know, there's a lot of racing out there, and cars making loud noises and going really fast is fun no matter what they look like.
Absolutely. That I think the cross promotion that they do, I'm glad they were able to partner that up. I've said this a number of times on the show. If I'm introducing somebody to the sport, I'm showing them a truck race. I'm not showing them an Xfinity race. I'm not showing them a cup race. I'm showing them a truck race. I'm going to sucker them in with the truck race, and then I'll show them the other stuff. Like, so no better way than introducing Indy to NASCAR fans with a truck race and vice versa.
Yeah, when we have, I think most of the years we're going to have a triple header at Atlanta, which is awesome, but it means we only have the one weekend, which we grew up accustomed to having two. But
yeah.
I have begged my dad to come to the truck race, and he made the only argument that I cannot get onto him for. He is so in love with my mom. He said, I could never leave your mother on a Friday night.
Aw.
And so I'm like, okay, I can't argue with that.
Right.
Yeah. I want to go to a race with my dad.
I guess you're gonna have to bring mom.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. That, you know, it's only an hour and a half race, so right? You know, mom could totally come.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll get that figured out here soon enough.
All right. Well, that was Sherwin from earlier this year, episode 71, I believe that was from the pre-show leading to MIS. And since, like I mentioned at the top here, I'm going to be on their show this week, I think I got to ask them, what's the status on getting mom and dad to the truck race in February here, since we're closing in on that. All right. One more here for you guys. But first, just want to remind everybody to make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Don't forget to subscribe, download, comment, review, all that good stuff. Lots to come in 2019. Got some really big things to announce and things that I'm still working on in the off season. So while I'm not doing a show every Tuesday, I am hard at work to put together some awesome things for you guys in 2019, which I'm really excited about as well. And let's wrap this one up with one more interview with Sherwin from the Michigan International Speedway Media Center, which was on show 72 of this past season. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it's time for another interview. Joining in the studio in the MIS Media Center, driver of the number 00, Code 3 associate, Stuart Haas Racing Ford, Mr. Colt Custer. Cole, welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely, anytime. Last time we talked, it was fresh off your statement win at Homestead. Unfortunately, just short making it to the Final Four, but you put the Xfinity field on notice with that win, as far as I'm concerned, and keeping true to that, starting off 2018, 9 top 10s in 12 races and sitting second in the standings. Talk a little bit about the season thus far, how you guys feel the season's going and what you're looking forward to for the second half before the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like right now we're kind of starting to hit our stride a little bit. We're starting to really, you know, knock off some top fives and get some poles and showing a lot of speed. So I think, you know, there's no reason. I think we're getting really close to a win, but you still got to do everything right to get it. But it's definitely, I think at the start of the year, we had some speed, but we're just not getting the finishes we wanted. But now I feel like we're really starting to hit our stride and we're closing in on a win, I feel like.
Absolutely. So let's talk last week at Pocono a little bit. Earned the pole, led some laps, finished fifth among the likes of Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott. Even though you didn't get the win, that had to feel good to be able to go out there and run up front with those guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whenever you're running against cup guys, you always see, you learn a lot, and it's a big confidence builder because you're just, you know, you're able to race against your heroes, really, that you grew up watching, and, you know, you get to learn so much, and they're really, you know, some of the best race car drivers in the world. So it's just whenever you get to do that, it definitely helps your confidence and just going into the next races that you really really know what you're doing.
Sure.
For this weekend.
Awesome.
So, Cole, tell us a little bit about what having Kevin Harvick running this race means for you in terms of getting to compare notes. And obviously, you probably use him as a mentor, I would assume, being Stuart Haas teammates. Does it give you an extra level of confidence that he's running this race? So whatever you're saying, if he's saying the same thing, then, you know, what does that feel like for you?
Yeah, I mean, this race is pretty important because of the new package. I think, you know, now that we have a second car, we can kind of bounce ideas off each other and maybe learn a little bit faster than what we were just being a single car. So team-wise, that helps a lot, you know, setup-wise. And then also driving-wise, like you said, you know, if he figures something out during practice that I didn't, you know, have the chance to figure out or couldn't figure out, I can just go out over and ask him and he can tell me. So it's definitely helps a lot having that second car running. And it should be a big help, especially because I think it's going to race like a speedway race this weekend. So having another car out there kind of help push you at times, that can help a lot too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Awesome. Cole, so I'm asking everyone today that stops into the makeshift Lap Traffic studio, is there something special about MIS that you like coming out to do and see when you are getting a few minutes away from the track, whether it's place to eat, place to go and see? Have you found a hidden gem out here in the Irish Hills?
Well, we stay in Jackson. Okay. And
there's a really good pizza place in Jackson. Really? Clavon's. Okay. Oh, it is so, probably, good.
I need to go to
you
that
need
place.
To check that out if you're
yeah.
pizza
I know,
guy.
I know that we went to this ice cream shop called The Parlor the other night, and that's a place that all of our guys go to. So it was really good, and that's probably one of the hidden gems that we found here.
Nice.
But also, I mean, you look at the campgrounds. I think obviously the campgrounds are the most, right. That's something you have to check out pretty much every single time you come here because they're pretty crazy. But it's always fun coming to Michigan, though.
Cool. You want to give a shout out to your sponsors and tell everyone where they can follow you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have Code 3 on the car this weekend. I think hopefully give them a really good run. And Haas Automation. So we'll see what happens. I think everybody can follow me on, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and everything at Cole Custer 00. And we'll see what happens. Hope we have a good weekend.
Awesome. Cole, thanks so much. Driver, the number 00, Code 3 Associate, Stuart Haas Racing Ford, for stopping by. Thanks for spending some time again. Good luck this weekend, man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. Anytime. All right, we are back in Radio Room 3 in the MIS Media Center, joined by driver the number 2, Richard Childress Racing, next tier Chevrolet, Mr. Matt Tiff. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Absolutely, anytime. You are more than welcome, anytime. Last time we talked, it was after the Bristol race, which was maybe a little less than ideal finish for you guys that I'm sure you were looking for. But you've racked up 3 top 10s since Bristol, with 6 total on the season, sitting 9th in standings. What's the take on the season so far?
You know, I think it's been really good. I think the progress we've shown at some of these tracks is really good as far as us working together as a team. But I think, you know, for us to take the next step, we need to just make sure we keep on building on that and be able to go compete inside the top 5 every week. And, you know, I feel like those Dash for Cash races were really strong for us performance-wise. And I think we've had a couple tougher weeks, but we've still been able to get a top 10 out of that. And last week in Pocono with this new package, you know, we struggled just a little bit. So trying to rebound a bit this weekend and see what we can learn for Indy later in the year with this, but then obviously looking forward to getting back on track where we were hitting our stride with the original package at Iowa.
Sure. Walk us through last week at Pocono a little bit. Brought home a top 15. You mentioned the package. Everyone that we've talked to so far this weekend has already said they're expecting it to be very different here at MIS. So what are you expecting when you guys hit the track here in about an hour?
You know, honestly, for me, I was watching this morning some of the old late 90s and early 2000s IROC races. And
great races out here.
They were great races. And that's what was interesting about it was the cars there, they were hitting about 174 miles an hour at the end of the straightaway. And that's the exact number we've been hitting at Pocono and Indy. So, you know, I think the downforce numbers on these cars are a little bit different. But based off of that, I think you're going to see a lot of guys, you know, making moves, maybe what you'd see in a truck race, but the guys are going to be even more together than that. So I think it's going to be a totally different race in Pocono because this motor package with the restrictor plate on it, it takes so long for it to recover. So a high speed track like this or Charlotte, where you're mainly in the throttle, I think that's where this package shines.
Cool. Sherwin, you got anything?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing in terms of, and Brandon and I had discussed this last night or yesterday about how this track is going to be wildly different from what Pocono was because of the banking. It's going to be somewhere in between what we saw maybe the old Daytona before they resurfaced it, where you could get a little strung out, but the slingshot's really going to matter. So what I would ask you is, what's it feel like having a teammate out there? You know, you got somebody, somebody's got your back if you're out there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we learned last week at Pocono is that you can get two cars together and make some headway. You know, if you're kind of stuck in a place, if you can get somebody to back up to you, you can make some ground up. Now, Pocono, maybe it works a little bit better there because you're struggling to recover so much off of the corners because you're down on power. So maybe that's a bigger deal there than it's going to be here. But, you know, I still think on the backstretch here, if you get two cars together, it's going to be a big help. So if you have a teammate there that can help you make a move, I think it's a great thing. But, you know, at the same time, we talked about it this last week. It's just everybody's got to put themselves in a good place, because if you lose any momentum with this package, you're really, really stuck. So,
you'll become lap traffic real quick.
Oh, absolutely.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no, for sure. So you just got to time it out and see what makes sense at the time.
So you mentioned at Pocono, you were able to get right up to the bumper of someone there. And, you know, that it reminded me, because we haven't seen that in so much of the tandem draft that we had for a while there. And they mentioned it on the broadcast. You know, they never said anything about not being able to really stick to that rear bumper. Have they made any reference, NASCAR, do you know, of saying, hey, you know, you can tap, but you got to get back off that bumper or anything like that?
To my knowledge, we haven't been told nothing. Okay. So right. If I do it, well, I hope NASCAR's I'm not on the not bad listening. End of it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So yeah,
don't disclose your strategy.
That's right. Yeah. If Wayne Otten hears this, I'm sorry if I mess up.
So only one start at MIS in the Xfinity Series race. What are you looking forward to this weekend being at MIS and the importance that it has for the manufacturers?
Yeah, I mean, last year here, it was definitely a big learning experience. And I think we were inside the top 10 with a few laps to go, spun off of turn four. So that kind of took us out of a good finish here. But, you know, I think the biggest thing for going to Michigan, you know, being a Chevrolet driver now, and it's such an important race, not only for Chevy, but then for next year, just down the road in Saginaw. It's such a big event for those guys to have a home race, and Michigan is where I got my start in racing from watching races when I was a kid. So definitely a big weekend for everybody involved in the sport. You know, you kind of talk about your big weekends of Charlotte and Michigan as far as lots of people being at the track, lots of support. So definitely would love to be able to go and get our first win here. I think you saw a couple years ago what it did for Daniel Suarez.
Absolutely.
And that would be huge.
That'd be very cool. Yeah. So speaking of Michigan and all that, and I know you're from Ohio, and I know you're about 3 hours from Penn State, 3 hours from Ohio State, and about 3 hours from Michigan. Are we maize and blue? Are we, you know, where is our allegiance falling here?
Why would you even suggest that as the first one on here?
That's no. School up north, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're at that track up north, the International Speedway right now.
That's awesome.
Funny. I got an off the wall question for you, too. Yeah. If we put Elliot Sadler aside, are you the next tallest driver in the garage?
I think it's Sadler, Cindric, and myself.
Okay, Cindric's pretty tall, too.
Yep, that's about right. But no, definitely Ohio State fan.
Okay,
I want to clear
that
up first.
All right. That's right. The one girl behind you, she's an Ohio State fan, too.
Okay, so that's good. That's, yeah. Well, we got my Kayla over here, my communications rep. She's a big Oregon Ducks fan. So she's the outlier in here, but I hear about the Oregon Ducks all the time.
Hey, go Ducks. I got a cousin that graduated from there.
We got a very loyal listener that's a big Ducks fan, too.
Oh, yeah. Shout out, Mick.
Yes. All right. So I'm asking everyone today, you've been at the Michigan area a few times. Is there a hidden gem that you like to go to when you come out to the track?
Well, for me, that's my grandma's house. So awesome. I was there the other night in Mount Pleasant. So
very
the
cool. Fire up chips.
Hey, the one there behind you. Yeah, my grandpa was a professor at Central Michigan for I don't know how many decades. So
very cool.
Yeah. So we were there the last day or two and staying out there and seeing the family. So I always love and come to doing that, because you travel so much, you don't get to see them all the time.
Sure.
So they get to come out to the races, and that's really special.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. You want to give a shout out to your sponsors and tell everyone where they can follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this weekend, like I said, we got Next Year Automotive on the car, and that's a big hometown race for them. So trying to put them in victory lane, and, you know, follow along on all of our social channels for updates this weekend. It's at @Matt_Tift, and that's Tift with two F's and a T at the end of it.
That's right.
It's very hard to spell for some folks, even for myself sometimes. So it's simple, but yeah, go ahead and check us out on there. We'll be posting stories, updates, and everything all weekend long and throughout the whole season.
Excellent. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Matt Tift, driver of the number two Richard Childress Racing Next Year Chevrolet, for stopping by and coming back on the show. Matt, good luck this weekend, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks
Excellent.
Very much.
Thank you. Well, that was very cool. I think I forgot to close out the Cole Custer interview. Like,
that'll happen sometimes.
That'll happen. Like,
we're pretty distracted.
We are very distracted. There's a lot going on in a short period of time out here right now. So that was very cool getting to talk to Matt Tift, and who just stumbled back into the room. He left his bag.
He forgot something he's going to need in a minute or two.
Yes. So that was very cool. Great interview. Cole Custer, who was on the show a few minutes ago, and Tyler Riddick earlier too. So just awesome that these guys are willing to take some time out at the track and come on the show.
Yeah, it's pretty cool these guys make some time for stuff like this, especially given our platform, your platform. It's it lets you know how inviting this sport really is, and lets you get into it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're in the heart of it. Like, we're not messing around here. Like, it's legit, real deal here, which is
right.
Which is really cool.
We can get out of our chairs, walk 100 feet, and see Bob Pockrass, Jeff Gluck, Chris Knight, Kelly Crandall.
Yeah, they're all yeah.
Claire B.
Yeah.
Lang, Bob Dillner. I mean, you name it. They're all there. We can go put our hands on them if we want
yes.
to.
We might not appreciate that, but we could totally do that.
Yeah, they probably don't like
no, that. No. And Chloe's been doing an awesome job, like, killing it out here.
Thanks, buddy. We
appreciate that. Oh, Chloe does an awesome job with everything. Chloe defines keeping it lit, that's for sure. Had some fun there with Sherwin, MIS, and the show before that there. Hope you guys enjoyed that, and hope you guys definitely tune in this Thursday to PETM 174, as I will be on with Rusty and Sherwin on the PETM podcast. Be on the YouTube. Make sure you go subscribe live to their channel so you can interact live with me and the guys on Thursday night. Definitely looking forward to that one. Everyone, that's going to be a wrap for this best of episode 104. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Man, it's only been a week, and I'm already losing my mind here. Don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers still doing that. Just dropped off the Fantasy and Listener Awards in the mail this week, so everyone should be getting their stuff. We'll do another one next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!